Dominic Conti, welcome to the complete world of Sports Abridged. How's it feel to be joining the show?
I feel welcomed.
What sort of a challenge has it been to play the role that Matt Rippey made so indelibly his own? Hi, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 225, Sophomoric, n'est-ce pas? It's been classic old-school touring this week for the Reduced Shakespeare Company. Matt Rippey, Jeff Marlowe, Tiger Reel, and stage manager Davey Naylor have been based in Amsterdam, making day trips to various theaters in cities all around Holland, performing the complete works of William Shakespeare Abridged Revised, while Reed Martin, Dominic Conti, and I have been flying and driving around the Northeast and Midwest of America, performing the complete world of Sports Abridged, along with Ali Botstedt backstage and Elaine Randolph as our stage manager. Today we traveled from Ithaca, New York, to Algona, Iowa, a town that only has 6,000 people in it, and we had to take three planes and drive 3 hours to get here. But we've got to do something to pass the time on long car trips, so recording this podcast seemed like the perfect thing to do. Dominic has just joined us for the sports show, and we were talking about the process of learning the show and what we learn about studying and performing the show.
You know what? People always ask you stuff like, how do you learn all those lines? And I tell them, you could learn them too. But it's, you know, and maybe quicker than I, but it's the idea of like taking those lines and then putting them into play.
Yeah.
And I think even after my third show, I still am not where I want to be, where I'm like half those lines. Everything's working for me and it's fluid and whatnot. But then, you know, it's kind of neat. I sort of rehearsed the show and watched the show in Pittsburgh. Then I had all that time off to just kind of sit with the script by myself until I was thoroughly sick of the script, sick of myself, sick of myself with the script, and then I just had to go do it, and then there's just sort of, I'm still making the show my own, but that's kind of my pleasure to do, that's a fun part of it too.
Yeah,
but then also I'm greedy and I want it all to be correct and perfect right now.
Well, and it's fun watching you work because you know how you work, you know what works for you, and you know, last night you were saying, I want to go faster on these couple of speeches, but I know that if I do, I don't know it well enough and I'll stumble.
Uh-huh, yeah, and that happened a little bit almost last night. I'm like, I'm rolling right along, and then, you know, I transposed and spoonerized a couple lines and words and sounds, and then I was like, okay, that put me... I said, whoa, old paint, you're working up a froth. And I slowed her down.
But you bring a background to the complete world of Sports Abridged. Not only are you an athlete, but you are an English major, a student of literature.
Yeah, and absolutely. Actually, I was more a student of writing. Because I guess my degree technically is in English writing and a focus being on fiction.
Right.
But yeah, I did took all the literature classes and all that.
Well, we've had conversations before amongst ourselves and on the podcast that, you know, sometimes we'll get a review that says, a bad review that says, the show is sophomoric. And sometimes we'll get a positive review where they'll say, the show is sophomoric. I loved it.
Uh-huh.
But you had some thoughts about that.
Yeah. I think first, amongst the three of us chuckleheads, let's define what sophomoric really is.
That's a very good point.
I mean, you know, what does it mean? You know, what is sophomoric humor? What does sophomoric mean?
Right.
You know?
Reed, do you...
How pejorative is that word?
Yeah.
Well, the difference between sophomoric and childish, to me it means kind of childish, mm-hmm. but a little bit more than that. I guess you would say Mad Magazine. Some people say Mad Magazine's a little sophomoric, so...
Right.
I don't know. Does that mean puns and... Fart
jokes.
Yeah, low-level humor, I guess.
Yeah. I guess sometimes, when people use sophomoric as a pejorative, they mean childish.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when they use sophomoric as a compliment, they mean childlike. You know, we're clearly grown-ups.
Wise distinction.
Well, and we're making our satirical points in a childlike way, and there's something funny about seeing grown-ups acting like children.
Yes.
For people who like that sort of thing.
For people who like that sort of thing, yes.
Yeah.
But you had to study the script coming to it new. You were studying the script, and you were telling us about what...
Left, right, and hither, there's sections of the show. And I was all up in your grills about it when we were just doing that sort of dry run through in Reston. I was like, this section of the show, not sophomoric. You know, like the part with the bullfighting and the nature of, like, you know, the cruelty to animals, and then we kind of like we revisit the cruelty onto Reed. Yeah. You know, how do you like it when you get, you know, stuck with a pika, you know, in your back and that kind of thing? Not sophomoric.
Not sophomoric.
Goofy, yes. Reed's wearing, you know, bull horns on his head, and I'm chasing around the stage with a sword. Yeah, that's goofy, but the point there, or at Gay Games, and, you know, like, nature of homoerotica in sports, that's, you know, potentially prurient, yes. goofy still, yes.
Yes.
Not really sophomoric, though, you know?
Or the discussion when we're all playing Scotsman golfing about what's the difference between a game and a sport. Is golf a game or a sport? What is a game? What is a sport? Yeah. Well, you know, a game is simply competition. A sport requires some sort of physical prowess. A discussion about that, or a discussion about where do teams get their names?
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. There's some clearly just some zingers and jokes in there. But, yeah, where do teams get their names? And, like, is how offensive is or is not team being called Washington, still called Washington Redskins?
Right, right. Well, or the scene where we talk about, you know, great women athletes, talking about and how women athletes go unrecognized so much of the time. And yet, you know, the case can be made that many of them are better athletes than the men, or tougher, or stronger, and that's the point we're making.
And it's goofy to include all those Yogi Berra quotes, but they have that kind of zen fun of them.
Yeah.
And all the quotes we say that sports people actually said, again, it's not sophomoric.
Well, and part of the thing that I enjoy about the show, and I don't think it's sophomoric, is talking about some of the more obscure sports.
Yeah.
Finding a funny way to introduce people to something, which can be difficult, because usually what we do is we make light of things that people are already familiar with. But whether it's, you know, native Australian sports of Goomboombadoo or Buzkashi in Afghanistan or whatever it is, I don't think that's sophomoric either.
Yep. Well, there's a part, the part with the synchronized swimming in the second act. Now, that's surreal. It's absurd. It's goofy, it's wacky, but that also is not sophomoric either. It's a very left field sort of kind of joke, the way that some of the things that happen in the nature of, like, the I don't want to pooch it for anybody, you know, who can see the show and whatnot,
but that's
not sophomoric either.
Well, and with that and the rhythmic gymnastics bit, that those two bits are, there's also a strange beauty to it, because it's well choreographed and you guys do it with your own sense of grace.
Mm-hmm. There's a skill set
there. I mean, one review said, didn't care for our synchronized swimming bit because he sniffed, because really didn't Saturday Night Live say all there needs to be said about synchronized swimming? Well, no. Is the answer?
Yeah,
no.
Also, and they didn't do a mimey clowny bit, which is what that scene is.
And they didn't do it live. One was television, one is live performance. You know, really? Okay, so Swan Lake has been done. We never need to do Swan Lake again? Is that the criticism?
It's not what it's about. Roger Ebert said this sort of. It's a movie is not what it's about. It's about how it is about it. Yeah. So that means you can have more than one joke about Obama if you want.
Yeah.
You know?
I was just going to say, and we're not saying we have anything against sophomoric, because there's plenty of that in all of our shows, but that isn't all it is. In the way that there's sophomoric in Monty Python.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Monty Python has poo-poo and wee-wee jokes, along with lots of other stuff. Well, speaking of Monty Python, Karl Marx appears in one of our sketches, which is very much the tip of the cap to Monty Python, and that's not a sophomoric scene either.
No, not at all. Talking about what our primal associations with American football and what they represent to
lefties
us.
Lefties being co-opted by a capitalist system.
Yeah, exactly. But I think, not only do we like sophomoric, I mean, I think the sophomoric jokes, the silly jokes, the obvious jokes you've got to go for because they're sitting there like soft fruit, ready to be picked.
Yeah, you gotta hit that ball on the rise. The audience would be cheated if you didn't.
And I mean, those are the joke. Those jokes make the subject matter go down. You know, spoonful of sugar. You know, you couldn't just do sports or Shakespeare or American history or the Bible without doing it, because you have to have both.
Yeah.
If you had one without the other, it would be too much. But the challenge for us always is to find that blend. And I think, you know, using sophomoric jokes or old jokes or bad puns in the service of an intellectual examination, as far as I'm concerned, there's nothing finer. So there.
Ta-da.
Yeah, ta-da.
Greetings, this is Stan Grossfeld from the Boston Globe. Yes, I took the picture of the ball going through Bill Buckner's legs, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company's podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSE? This is the final week of our six-week tour of Belgium and Holland, and we're also performing in the U.S. in Algona, Iowa, Duluth, Minnesota, and Batavia, Illinois. Then it's on to New Zealand in May and June, followed by a week at San Jose Rep and 5 weeks at the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific venue and ticket information. And now back to our conversation about the highs and lows of high and low comedy.
This gets back to, often in interviews, people ask, how does your comedy play all over the world? How does that work? Because comedy tends to be local and cultural. Yeah. But I think part of it is that, yes, we have sophomoric jokes, but we also have intellectual jokes.
Right.
You know, physical, verbal, smart, stupid.
Yeah.
Philosophers and farts.
Yeah.
And there's a place for all of it. And I think sometimes we get that people don't like the show. Every show isn't everybody's taste. But if you don't like it and you say because it's all sophomoric, I guess that's sort of what we're getting at, isn't it? It's not all sophomoric. You may not like it, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But it's not, you don't like it because it's all sophomoric because it isn't.
Right. Well, yeah, that's not even our point that there isn't sophomoric humor. It's just. We were talking before, like even a couple months ago, at least one of the reviews mentioned that it was sophomoric humor, and it's not all sophomoric humor.
Right. If all you saw was sophomoric, then you missed a good bit. Like the woman from the Boston Herald who reviewed sports and just really clearly really hated it, but she said in a review something along the point, and I think I got every joke, and I don't even like sports. Well. You didn't. I'm here to tell you, you did not.
Well, somebody else said, another review that didn't like it. And
I watched 2001 and I understood everything.
Sure you did.
Well, and most of the reviews have been good, but we did get another bad review where they said, you know, I think the only athletes they mentioned were Babe Ruth and Tiger Woods. And I sort of took that as face value as I read it. And then over the next few days, as I'm doing the show, I go, we're mentioning dozens of athletes. Yeah. That's just, you just weren't paying attention.
Yeah. And is that, and would that have made the show any better if that had just been a list of famous athletes?
Well, again, sometimes they're just trying to find some way to justify why they didn't like it.
Yeah.
But in doing that, they get their facts wrong.
Right. Well, and this conversation is making me think of things that go the other way. You know, we always take important, serious, highbrow topics and we reduce them, and sometimes we reduce them to the lowest forms of humor. But you know, I'm now realizing that there's a trend in the other direction, sort of in certainly in movies, and now on Broadway, of doing stupid things. But imbuing them with a lot of heart and a lot of smarts.
Seriousness.
Yeah, seriousness. I'm thinking of like the 40-year-old virgin, or the Wedding Crashers, or you know the better of the Apatow movies, where yes, it's a crude sex comedy, but by God,
super
it had a
bad. Well, just a, you know, super, just a great buddy story.
Yeah,
in a lot
great
of ways.
Buddy story. But you know, it's really dirty, really scatological, but filled with a lot of heart. You know, and now on Broadway, you know, Trey Parker and Matt Stone, the creators of South Park, have written the Book of Mormon, a new musical that is incredibly profane and scatological, but according to all the reviews, really, really funny and really smart and really full of heart.
Well, sometimes I guess you could say we take complicated topics and try to simplify them, which is almost the opposite of what a lot of the great silent clowns did. Some people say that one big aspect of clowning is finding something simple and finding a very difficult way to do it. And that's what Charlie Chaplin and Buster Keaton and Harold Lloyd spent a lot of time doing. Finding a very difficult solution to a very easy problem.
Oh, I see. Like a Rube Goldberg kind of a thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You can't be much more serious about a topic than many, many are about sports, you know?
Yeah.
The look that comes into Reed's eyes when he just says, you know, baseball shall be starting soon, you know? I mean, you know, that's, you know, there's real love and heart there and the ultimate in, you know, seriousness, you know?
Yeah, there was a lull in the dinner conversation last night as we record this. We're a week from opening day in baseball, and I know that none of the other four members of the company care or
give a rat's ass.
Yeah, they don't care. They haven't thought about it. There's just a lull in the conversation. I go, I know you all are just thinking about how excited you are that opening day is in a week, and everybody goes, no, Reed, no.
Oh, I should wake up. I'm driving.
Yes.
No, but that's well, and baseball. That's it's kind of a classic example, and one of the, you know, it's just one of my favorite scenes. Our argument about baseball in the sports show is because everything about baseball I love except the actual game itself, because I just find the game just boring to watch. I like playing it, but I just find it boring to watch. But everything else about it, the mythology, the romance of it. The history of the players, the drama of various teams, all that stuff I absolutely love. And if they didn't have baseball, writers would have to invent it because it is such a great...
The lore is rich and deep.
The lore is rich and deep. The mythology, the metaphor of it is just so wonderful.
Yes, they didn't have it in England, so they invented cricket.
Yeah.
Or maybe we didn't have cricket, so we invented baseball.
And that's why I love cricket so much, because it makes baseball look so exciting.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your bad puns via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on our website podcast page, and you can post reviews at our podcast page on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, Arlecchino Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Amelia McConville. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to sports photographer Stan Grossfeld and to Dominic Conti, Mick Orff, and Jeff Marlowe, who recorded a special station ID for Lush 99.5 FM in Singapore. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 225 675th of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Okay, hold on, Dominic. Hi, I'm Mick Orff.
Dom, stop. I'm Jeff Marlowe.
That's Dominic Conti. And we are the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Lush.
Dominic, stop. Please. To me, Lush is like walking around barefoot on deep pile shag carpeting.
To me, Lush is like a bath of cool, clear mountain stream water. Dom, stop it. Lush. And you're listening to Lush
99.5.
Guys, FM. Let me say something.
Lush.
Okay, ready, Dom? Now.
What?
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.